Let's be turning to Judges chapter 17. Judges 17. Now, coming to this chapter, we've just finished Samson, but now beginning with this chapter and going to the end of the book of Judges, you'll notice that the book takes a very different tone. Things change. And it seems, well, it follows Samson, and so it would seem that chronologically it comes after Samson. It comes after what we've seen with the judges. But whether it is or isn't, whether it's something that's a backdrop or not, or follows Samson or came before the judges came, that's really not the important thing here. What we do see is a horrific plague of sin in the heart of man. That's what we see here from this chapter on to the rest. Jeremiah, the prophet, said, "The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Who can plumb the depths of just how wicked this heart is? This heart of mine," every sinner says. And so we read in verse 6, it talks about this a little bit. Verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And there's something about that statement that speaks of Christ, that speaks of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the natural man says, "We will not have that man. We won't have this man to reign over us. Jesus, my king, my Lord? No, I'll take it from here. I got this myself. I'll do it myself. I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what's right in my own eyes." And that's the natural heart of man. That's the natural heart that every one of us comes into this world with, until the Lord is gracious to us and gives us a new heart and humbles us and conquers these wicked, rebellious hearts and gives us His spirit, a new man of faith that cries for Christ, that looks for Him, that believes Him and cries to Him for mercy and grace. And so what we're seeing here from these chapters, from this chapter on to the end of the book, is a description of the evil that rages on in the heart of the natural man. This is what's going on in the heart of every man, woman, and child, and testifies to our need of Christ. We need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves from this, because we don't even know just how evil we are, and the sin that plagues our hearts and minds. What we're seeing here in this chapter is anarchy. It's just a mess is what we're looking at. Sin is abounding. There's no instruction from the priesthood. There's no government to deal with the sin and the wickedness of the people. And so these things are what we see in Israel, who are supposed to be the people of God, but we see this sin and rebellion in them. And so these things began to be the norm in Israel sometime after the passing of Joshua. Joshua being a type of Christ, so that we see that when Christ is not ruling in the heart, there is all this manner of sin and disarray. Everyone's doing what they think is the best thing for them, and that's what they're pursuing, and that's what they're building up, and those are their works. But after Joshua passed away, well, when he was there, the land was ruled well, and there was peace in the land, and people did what they should do. There wasn't all this rebellion and sin in the land. A picture of Christ. There wasn't this anarchy. Look back at Judges 2. Let's go to Judges 2, verses 6 and 7. And when Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. So when Joshua's in the land, there's peace. And when Joshua's not in the land, there's no peace. So remember that the scriptures are teaching us. We're seeing the testimony of scripture, which hath concluded all under sin. The Lord is instructing us here, not how to save ourselves, but that all are under sin. And so in this brief chapter, it's only 13 verses, we see sin and idolatry plaguing Israel, plaguing the heart of man, highlighted in one family. And this family is typical of the whole family of Adam. This is what plagues our heart. There's a phrase that's been consistently coming up in the book of Judges, which says the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. It's in chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 10, chapter 13. It just keeps coming up that the children of Israel keep doing evil in the sight of the Lord. And the evil that they practice appears to be idolatry. And then all that evil just flowed from their heart and manifested itself in the worship of the gods of the people around them. It was just a false god. It was a lie that they trusted in. At least that's what we see in Judges 10. Let's go to Judges 10 and look at verse 6. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon and the gods of the Philistines and forsook the Lord and served not him. Now I have little doubt that they were using the name of the Lord. They were using the name of Jehovah. It was on their lips, but not according to grace. Not according to the grace and mercy of God. It was all idolatry. And so when you read this chapter, and we're not going to look at every verse, but read it. I encourage you to read it later, today or this week, and you'll see that there's all manner of errors and contradictions throughout. And so when you're reading it, if you think that sounds odd, well, that's because it is. It's sin. It's wickedness. The contradiction you're reading and you're saying this doesn't sound right, that's because it isn't right. It isn't. It's sin. It's darkness. And everything in this chapter is man's own understanding of righteousness. It's a reflection. It's a mirror for what's going on in our own hearts by nature, where we try to establish our own righteousness before God. And what the Lord is saying is that if you will be justified with God, what you're going to do is you're going to be made by grace to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that Jesus Christ is the very righteousness of God given to save your souls. He's the deliverer. He's the one who brings peace in the heart of his children. You're going to look to Christ and you're going to forsake those things that are wicked works and false ways, and you're going to follow Christ, believing him by faith. He is the righteousness of God, witnessed by the law and the prophets. That's what the Lord is showing us. And so I've titled this message, Delivered from the Curse. Delivered from the Curse. And we're going to begin in verses 1 and 2. We're going to begin in verses 1 and 2. And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. His name is Micah. Now, interestingly, this is the first name of someone in Ephraim, isn't it? All this time, we've been seeing these judges raised up in all these other tribes, And Ephraim was always getting upset because they were being passed over and no one was giving them the respect that was their due. Well, now they get someone named, only he's not a judge. He's not a judge. He's a wicked man. He said unto his mother, verse 2, the 1,100 shekels of silver. Now, we heard 1,100 shekels of silver. That's what the Philistine lords each gave to Delilah. I don't know. Is this the price of betrayal? I don't know. It was 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst and spakest of also in mine ears. Behold, he says, the silver is with me. The silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou the Lord, my son. So this man is a wicked man. But you'll notice that he's very superstitious. He's very religious. But he's a wicked man. But that doesn't stop him from being religious. That doesn't stop him from trying to work a righteousness for himself. No doubt he wanted to be justified by the Lord. No doubt he wanted to be justified by the Lord. And he believed that his justification was the result of his own works of righteousness. He thought, God's going to justify me by these good works that I'm doing. God's going to justify him by those works. And you'll notice when you read this chapter that there's many irons in the fire for righteousness. He's stoking this thing, he's stoking that thing, all trying to produce good works for himself so that God would testify that, or justify him that he is righteous. He trusted many things. When I was a younger man, I worked with a friend, and we used to buy dirt from this guy. And he would mix this dirt, he'd filter out rocks and mix in some clay and sand with it. But that isn't all that he did. He had work over here. He had a truck business. He had other delivery services. He had all these different things so that he always had something that was making money for himself. Well, that's how Micah was with his works. That's how he was in religion. He had a lot of different things that he was trying to do so that God would look at him and say, you're a righteous man. You're justified. You're a good man. I will bless you. Now, I bring this out because everything he did, you'll see that he was trying to be justified by God. Look down in Judges 17, verse 13. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. And so this was just one of the many things that he had done to try and earn the favor of God, to get himself in God's favor. Now, every one of us should want to be justified by God. It's one thing to be justified by man, who is a sinner just like we are. It's a whole other thing to be justified by God. It's a whole other thing to be justified by God. Job asked, how then can a man be righteous with God? Or how can a man be justified with God? A man that is born of woman. A man that is born of Adam's corrupt, defiled seed. How can a man be justified with God? This man, Micah, he acts like he wants to be justified by God. He's trying to justify himself before God. He's trying to earn God's favor by his religious good works. This is a picture of every one of us by nature. That's how we come forth thinking that if I do what's good and right, that God will justify me. That's what man tries to do. But listen, according to the scriptures, if you would be justified by God, you must be perfectly holy. You must have no sin, no iniquity, which means no inequalities. You must be perfect in all your ways. having never trespassed against God, having never transgressed against God's holy law. You must have no history of sin. If God's going to justify you, you must be as perfect as God is perfect. If you look at your Bibles, you notice that on one side of the page, it's very straight. And on the other side of the page, it's just as straight. There's not letters and other symbols going outside the lines. They're perfectly justified. So that the right side is as justified as the left side. Your eyes that way. They're even. That's what the Lord is showing us from His Word. You must be as perfect as God is perfect. Are you perfect? Can you say that you have never sinned? I can tell you right now, I am not perfect. I am a sinner saved by the grace of God. The Apostle John said it this way in 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But it gets worse than that. The Apostle John goes on to say, if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. We're saying, God, you're saying I'm a sinner, and we're but I don't have sin, so that we call God a liar, and His word is not in us. So that you that would defend yourselves and call God a liar to justify yourselves, He's saying, you don't have the light of God in you. You don't know the truth of God. You're a sinner, and you think that you're justified. Is God going to justify you for your works of righteousness? How then can a man be justified with God? A man is justified. A woman is justified by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent of the Father. He's perfect in all His ways. He died on the cross, shedding His blood to cover the sins of His people, so that we are righteous before holy God in Christ. He's the sinner's righteousness. He's the sinner's hope of glory to stand before holy God. That's how our sins are washed away, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died as the substitute of His people to satisfy the justice of God and to make His people righteous by His blood. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. And we're going to hold our place in Galatians because we're going to look at a few scriptures here. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle saying, even we apostles, we're believing in Christ for our justification. We're not coming to God in our own works of righteousness. Even we believe in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith, the faithfulness, that faithful work, that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. God's not going to justify anyone for their works in the law, for their good works. Drop down to verse 19. He says, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now he explains to us how that a child of God, how a believer is dead to the law and made righteous by Christ. Look at verse 20 and 21. He says, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ hung on the cross, I was in Him. Like Noah in the ark, I was in Christ, so that I too was crucified on that cross, so that I died in Christ to the law. That's not my righteousness. That's not my holiness. Being good under the law is not my hope. I must be perfect, and I am perfect in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm crucified with Christ, he says. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, a sinner, and gave himself for me, an enemy of God, a man born in wickedness and sin. But he loved me and gave himself for me. And he goes on to say, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. That's a bold thing to say. If righteousness comes by the law, then why did Christ die? He didn't need to die. I could have just made myself righteous by the law. Yet Christ did come. It was necessary for him to come because we cannot save ourselves. And that's what the scripture is showing us. He's teaching us you cannot save yourselves. Now hold your place in Galatians because we're coming right back to it. But I want you to look again at verse 2. Judges 17, verse 2. This man Micah said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursedst and spakest of also in mine ears. Right? What he's saying is, I heard you, Mom, cursing the man that took this. Whoever it was that took this, I heard you call down curses from God upon him. May he be destroyed. Wipe him out. May his kids have no father. May they have no family. Let him come to an end. Put that, just curse down, curse that person who stole this money from me. He said, I heard you. I heard you say those things. Behold, the silver is with me. I took it. I took it. So that all those curses you pronounced came upon me. You cursed me, mother. And so what's going on? This man who's been laboring to make a righteousness for himself, he's now afraid because he's heard this curse. He's thinking, uh-oh, I've done all these good works, and they're going to be undone by the curse. They're going to be undone by the curse. That curse that you pronounced against me, mother, it's now on my head, and it's going to render every good work I've done to be a curse, and God's not going to receive it. That's a picture of us under the law. You see, the natural man, all of us by nature, we spend a lot of time trying to do good works, trying to make ourselves pleasing to God. When someone comes to hear the word preached, they're thinking, I'm doing this because this will get me some extra brownie points with God. God will be pleased with me. He'll give me a little blessing for the day or the week. God will be pleased with what I'm doing. And so the natural man thinks if I do good, God will bless me. God will show favor to me. I'll earn God's good favor if I do what's good and right. And so then we start doing those things and we get good at looking at others and seeing the faults in others and pointing out the errors of their ways. And we think, well, I'm pretty good. I can see that's wrong, what they're doing. And so we think, well, God's really blessing me now. I'm doing really good. I'm figuring it out. And my works are good. But let's go back to Galatians 3. Let's go to Galatians 3 now, and verse 10. And then again, keep your finger there in Galatians. We'll be back. But it says, verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law, to all of us who are trying to work goodness and make ourselves righteous before God, he says, you are under the curse. You're under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Our Lord is putting it in our face to hear and to know, are you righteous? Are you keeping the law? Have you kept the law of Moses? Civilly, morally, ceremonially, perfect in all things and never ceased from doing them? Are you perfect before the law? Because if you're not, he says you're under the curse of the law, which requires your payment at your hand. You must then pay God with perfect righteousness. And we're not perfect under the law. We have many faults, many blemishes, leprosy, many diseases and sicknesses. We're full of sin and full of darkness and have no righteousness of our own. what the Lord is showing us by telling us this, by making us to know what we are in ourselves, that we are sinners, it's to stop. It's for us to stop trying to work a righteousness for ourselves. Stop trying to please God and earn His favor by what we do, and look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe Him. Call upon Him for mercy and forgiveness of sins. Ask for His grace and mercy. Lord, save me, a sinner. I can't save myself. Help me, Lord. That's what the Lord is showing us this for. All are under sin. So stop trying to work a righteousness and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Father sent Him, to save His people from their sins. We're under the curse of the law. Micah here in Judges 17 is trying to earn God's favor, and he's come under a curse by his mother, picturing the curse that we're all under by the law. When we're trying to be a good person, when we're trying to do religious things, and we're trying to make right what we've done wrong, the Lord's saying, you can't do it. We've all come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner by nature. He tells us those things that we're doing that we think are our righteousness are filthy rags. The prophet Isaiah said it this way: we are all as an unclean thing. Every one of us, the pastor included, every one of us is an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, our good works, are as filthy rags. They're filthy rags, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. So just like you see that green leaf, which dries out in the fall and then blows off that tree in the wind, that's our good works. That's our righteousnesses. It's like having greasy, dirty hands and taking a rag that's been soaking in grease and trying to wipe the grease off. All you're going to do is just keep smearing the grease around. When I painted a room in my house, I got paint on my hands. I tried to wipe it off, but there was paint on the rag, so that it just added more paint to my hands. That's what we're doing when we're trying to work a righteousness, thinking God will bless me now if I just do this, and I stop doing that, and I start doing this now, God will bless me. No, you're not looking to Christ. You're trusting your own works of righteousness. Salvation is not by works. If you would be clean in the eyes of God, you must come to God believing Christ, that He is our acceptance. He's the sinner's acceptance with God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not by works. It's by faith. Faith, believing Christ is my forgiveness and my acceptance with God. So back in Galatians 3. Galatians 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. He's got to keep doing perfectly under the law to be accepted with God in the law. But here's the good news of the gospel. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us, His people, those who believe Him. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Christ was hung on a tree, what we call the cross. He bore the curse. He became a curse for His people, meaning He died the death that we earned by our wicked works. Christ died as a substitute for His people to satisfy the justice of God, to deliver us from death and ruin, so that we are now accepted and received of God in the person, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God saves His people. That's why He's merciful and just to forgive us our sins for those who come to Him in Christ, not their own works. They come in Christ. He said he did this that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. That is all believers through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. through faith, not through good works, but through faith which he gives to his child in mercy and grace, delivering them from trusting false works, wicked works, thinking that what I did is going to please God and earn me salvation. Not at all. Not at all. He says, put that away. Now, one final thing from our text. You'll notice that the works here are full of hypocrisy. They're full of idolatry. And you'll notice they don't think anything's wrong with it. They're that blind. They're that blind thinking that their goodness is what brings them to God. When Micah confessed his sin to his mother, she said at the end of verse 2, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son." That's capital L-O-R-D, meaning Jehovah. That's the name of the God of Israel, Jehovah. All right, so she's calling on the name of the Lord. But look what she says in verse 3 and 4. When he had restored the money to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver, his mother said, "I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now, therefore, I will restore it unto thee." So already you're thinking, well, that's odd. I thought the second commandment was, thou shalt make no graven images of God, of things in heaven or things on earth, and thou shalt not bow down to them and worship them. Well, yeah, they're breaking the second commandment. They have no issue with this. Yet, it says in verse 4 that Micah restored the money unto his mother. He didn't want it. He wasn't taking it. And his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. Now, remember, you're thinking, wait a minute. I thought she said she dedicated 1,100 shekels of silver. But now she decided, you know what? It was missing. I got it back. Not instead of being happy and really giving it, as because she had lost it anyway, she says, you know what? I'm just going to give a little over 10%. I'm just going to give 200 shekels of silver instead. And then verse 5 shows us that Micah, the man Micah, had an house of gods and made an ephod and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And so you're thinking, wait a minute, this guy has a house full of gods. And he consecrates his son, who's of Ephraim, not a Levite. And he's the one doing the consecration, not a Levite. And so this whole thing is just full of sin and full of confusion, idolatry. It's all over the place. And so when we sit here and look at it, we think it's very clear. This man's a wicked man. How does he not see this? Everything he's doing is falsehood, it's lies, it's sinful, and he thinks he's going to come to God in his own works. But understand, that's exactly what we are by nature, because we justify our own works, and we condemn others for the same things that we do, and we can't see it. By nature, we don't realize how blind, how foolish, how ignorant I am. I'm the sinner. I'm the one that needs salvation. I'm worried about this person condemning them and feeling good about myself when I'm doing the same thing and I can't even see it. I'm utterly blind to it. I'm trusting my own works and not trusting Christ. Isaiah said it this way in 44:20, "He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand?" I can't even see that I'm trusting a lie by nature. I need salvation. I need deliverance. We're just like Micah, because by nature, it says in verse 6, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that word right means pleasing. We do what pleases us so that we feel good about it and think God will do me good. He'll do me a favor of mercy. And so we see the lie in Micah, but we don't see the lie in ourselves. Our Lord is showing us, by nature, we are ignorant of the righteousness of God. And we go about to establish our own righteousness because we haven't submitted to the Lordship of Christ. We haven't submitted to the righteousness of God. who is the end of the law for righteousness to them that believe. I'll close with this. How is Christ the end of the law for righteousness? He tells us that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him will not be ashamed. All who come to God, trusting in their good works, they'll stand before the throne of God ashamed of themselves, because they'll see their own nakedness in that day. They can't see it now, they're blind, but they'll see it then, standing before the all-seeing eye of the brilliant glory of God. They'll know it then. But all who trust Christ and put aside, don't trust their own works, trust the righteousness of Christ, they will never be ashamed. They shall be received of holy God, who will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You looked and trusted my son. You believed my word. Welcome into everlasting life. And so we'll be received. So that's the gospel. That's the gospel. I pray the Lord bless that word to your hearts.